Well, it's that time of year again, the time that fans of avant-garde music from all over the world anxiously await the reveal of the lineup for Knoxville's Big Ears Festival. Rolling Stones magazine has called Big Ears America's biggest avant-garde party, while The New Yorker writes that the sounds are the stars, free of the tyranny of categories. It's hard to describe this one-of-a-kind festival that celebrates innovation, creativity, and expression through music, film, and art. As usual, Big Ears will take place in various venues throughout downtown Knoxville, and this year it will be a four-day affair from March 23rd through 26th. Ashley Capps, producer of the festival and founder of AC Entertainment, came in to talk with me about this year's lineup, some changes to this year's festival, and about the enormous growth that Big Ears has experienced over the past couple of years. Ashley Capps, it's fantastic to see you once again. Thanks for stopping by WUOT to chat with me.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
As I mentioned in the intro, Big Ears has been extended by one day. It's now a four-day festival, so that's one big change. I understand you've also added two new venues.
That's true. The programming keeps threatening to overflow. Last year, we actually flowed over a little bit into a fourth day when we did the show at IAMS, John Luther Adams and Nuke Suite. So this year we just made it official because there were so many things we were trying to program. We've also added two venues that I'm really excited about, both of them churches, St. John's Episcopal and Church Street United Methodist Church. Those will join the Tennessee Theater, the Bijou Theater, the Square Room, the Standard, the Mill and Mine, and we might have a couple of other surprises up our sleeves. We'll be all over downtown Knoxville.
Both of those new venues have amazing acoustics.
Absolutely.
And we'll find out a little later on why you may have chosen those two new venues.
There was several very specific reasons, really.
The ticket options are a little different from last year. You did away with separately ticketed events. It's all general admission. What are the different ticketing options that are available?
Well, it's all general admission, and it all, in theory, gives everyone access to everything. We do have a VIP program that guarantees you access to everything, and then a premium pass that allows you to gain faster entry. So if you're particularly dead set to see certain performances, which I'm sure many people will be, there are options that can help ensure that.
I understand that the film and visual art components will continue with this year's festival. Could you talk a little bit about one of those installations, the Virtual Views Digital Art, which will be at the KMA?
Well, this is a fantastic exhibition that KMA already had scheduled, and it will actually be at KMA before and after Big Ears, but fortunately overlapping Big Ears. So during the Big Ears weekend, we certainly wanted to take advantage of the fact that this really fascinating exhibition was going to be here. We're organizing a couple of special events around that, as well as having the curator have some guided tours during the weekend as well. And there'll be other programs at the Knoxville Museum of Art too, especially as it relates to our film program, which we're doing with the Public Cinema. And Public Cinema has an ongoing set of screenings that they do at the Knoxville Museum of Art. So fortunately, this year, we're able to take advantage of that as well.
Something that I was not aware of during last year's festival is Little Ears. Tell us a little bit about this wonderful aspect of the festival.
Well, from the very beginning, we wanted to engage young people. And we started with both the Joy of Music School and the Community School for the Arts, and working with them just to bring young students into the fold so that they have the opportunity to see rehearsals, various types of shows, attend some of the programs, and really have some firsthand experience with some of the greatest artists of our time. Arts education is so important in terms of what it instills in young people, and anything that we can do to help establish that connection and create some inspiration there is vitally important, I think.
And part of the ticket sales will go to support those organizations?
Yes, we raise money for the organizations as a part of the overall Big Ears ticketing plan. We also try to do some special events that raise money for the programs as well, but also offering access to dress rehearsals. You know, I had an interesting conversation a couple of years ago with David Harrington from the Kronos Quartet, and he was really inspiring because he wanted to open all of the Kronos Quartet's sound checks and rehearsals to young people to come see how they practiced pieces and how they prepared for a show, because he felt like that opening up that process so that young people can understand the nature of practice and the particular rewards that come from working to hone anything, but in this case, a piece of music, was a really valuable educational experience. And you could see from the kids that were there just how fascinating this is for them. And it really can open up an entire new perspective on the nature of practice, which all too often is seen as some kind of drudgery rather than an essential part of the process itself.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And now the long-awaited question, who are the headline artists of this year's Big Ears?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that I think of this so much as a headliner-driven festival. It really has so many different facets to it and so many extraordinary artists of many generations that it's really hard to put your thumb on a headliner or two or three. I hardly know where to start myself.
There's a lot to talk about.
You know, I'm especially excited to have Carla Bley, who's one of the greatest jazz artists of our time, just celebrated her 80th birthday this past May. She's going to be performing with her trio that rarely performs in the United States. They tour Europe every year, but they rarely play in the USA. And that's with her husband, Steve Swallow, playing bass and Andy Shepherd playing sax. She's also going to be collaborating with the Knoxville Jazz Orchestra. She's very well known for her large ensemble work, her big band work, and so she's going to be working with Vance Thompson and his team for several days to present a big band concert, too. So I'm really excited about that. Mm-hmm. Also on the jazz front, Henry Threadgill, who won the Pulitzer Prize this year for music, will be performing with his band Zooid. We also have one of the great composers of our time, Gavin Bryars, British. Amazingly enough, coming with his ensemble and performing here in the United States for the first time. Gavin Bryars' music has been performed in the United States on a number of occasions, many times over the last few decades, but he has never actually performed here with his own ensemble. So that's something of a world premiere, which I'm still shocked about. Also, Gavin Bryars has written a beautiful new choral work, which will be released on ECM here in just a few weeks. We're bringing this amazing choral group, The Crossing, to Knoxville. They'll be performing at Church Street Methodist Church, and The Crossing will be performing Gavin Bryars' The Fifth Century, as well as David Lang's The Little Match Girl Passion, which won the Pulitzer Prize back in 2008. So that's part of their program, which I believe will also feature some music by Arvo Pärt and John Taverner and others. That's over two nights, The Crossing at Church Street Methodist Church. We have Johan Johansson, who won the Golden Globe Award for the music that he wrote for The Theory of Everything. He's best known for his work with film, but he's from Iceland, and he's been one of the foremost young contemporary composers now for quite some time. He's written some incredible pieces, and for this particular show, he'll be presenting a new work called Drone Mass, with the American Contemporary Music Ensemble and Theater of Voices. Wow, there's so many living legends here, too. Meredith Monk, one of the extraordinary singers of our time and composers, filmmaker, choreographer. Last year, she won a National Medal of Arts. Just an extraordinary, extraordinary artist who I discovered back in the 1970s, and I'm still pinching myself that Meredith Monk will be at Big Ears with her ensemble. Musica Electronica Viva with Frederick Shevsky and Richard Teitelbaum and Alvin Curran. And then we could get into the rock stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, Wilco's going to be here finally. Members of Wilco have been here before, but this year Wilco will perform. Stephen Merritt and the Magnetic Fields are going to present a new work that Merritt was commissioned to do on the occasion of his 50th birthday. It's 50 songs, which they'll present over two nights. And it just keeps on going.
It does. When I looked at the lineup, it seemed to me that there were perhaps a few more classical leading musicians than in the past. But as is typical at Big Ears, they are collaborating with non-classical artists, or their works are being presented by non-classical artists. For example, saxophonist Colin Stetson will be performing his reimagining of Henrik Gorecki's Third Symphony. Would you say that that assessment is correct? Was that intentional, or just kind of happened?
Well, part of the spirit of the festival is to bring together different musical worlds. But there's a lot of pretty straightforward classical performances and pretty straightforward rock performances and folk and jazz and so on. For instance, Claire Chase, who's an amazing flutist. I think at one point she was the youngest recipient of a MacArthur Foundation Fellowship. She's a real music entrepreneur. She's the founder of the International Contemporary Ensemble, and she'll be presenting a program of classical music, many pieces that she's commissioned for her instrument. ACME, the American Contemporary Music Ensemble, is going to be performing a couple of programs of contemporary classical music written by some of the finest young composers around. So sometimes it blends together, and sometimes it's going to be kind of straight on.
Big Ears just keeps growing and growing. The press release says that there will be at least 60 artists performing this year. When did you begin working on the enormous lineup for 2017?
Wow. Before the 2016 festival, I think we were already working on 2017. And I think I woke up this morning realizing that we've got nearly a dozen artists already booked for 2018.
Wow.
So, you know, a lot of artists in the, especially in the classical music world, plan pretty far in advance. So there were a number of programs that we were originally looking at for this year where it simply didn't work in people's schedules. So it's an ongoing process. Super Silent, which is an amazing improvisational group from Norway who will be coming here to the United States for the first time since 2004. Super Silent, we've been trying to get over here since 2009. So a lot of these conversations take some time. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of forces that need to align in some cases in order for them to come together. So it's a very unscientific and always evolving process.
As I just mentioned, Big Ears has grown from year to year in popularity, size, media coverage, you name it. Last year, it seemed to me that it exploded. Most performances that I attended were sold out or at capacity, and downtown was just teeming with festival attendees. How many people attended 2016's festival versus 2015?
Big Ears did grow considerably last year. In fact, we had a one day that sold out completely. Overall, we had about 11 or 12,000 people attend the concerts last year, which was up some 4,000 over the previous year, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
And it certainly experienced some extraordinary growth. We have 70% of our audience comes from outside of the Knoxville region, the East Tennessee region. Atlanta, I think, is the number one source of many of our attendees, but interestingly enough, New York's number two, Chicago's number three, and then you go to the West Coast and get San Francisco, Los Angeles, Austin.
Folks from other countries?
We also have people visiting from all over the world. There's several people who come every year from Australia, also from Central and South America, from Mexico, from all over Europe, from Asia, and certainly from Canada. So the festival's really resonated with a core group of music aficionados, and it's become a widely anticipated cultural gathering. It's very exciting, obviously, for me personally, to see it gaining this kind of respect and momentum. It's a very exciting and affirming thing. Mm-hmm. Who knew?
Could you even begin to estimate the impact that this festival has on Knoxville and our economy?
We haven't done a full-fledged economic impact study yet. Last year, certainly all the hotel rooms were totally booked for several days. People are eating in all of the restaurants. The artists eat in the restaurants. So it's definitely having an extraordinary impact on the community economically. The other impact, though, was kind of interesting. I have a friend who noted that he felt like Big Ears had changed the perception of Knoxville, Tennessee, at least among the cultural scene throughout the world. It had been a completely transforming thing. And I also think it's done a lot to transform how we here in Knoxville see ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's always fascinating to have visitors come from all over the world and experience your city. And one of the most exciting aspects of the festival is how much they love Knoxville when they're here. We take these things for granted sometimes, but there's a really special historic character to our city. And it's also very walkable. We have some extraordinary venues and everything, the restaurants, the shops, the hotels, all of the venues within a relatively short walk of one another. So it really creates a scene. And I think that in itself is transformative, both in how Knoxville is seen as a community and then how Knoxville sees itself through the eyes of all of these visitors.
Mm-hmm. And I also feel like as a resident of Knoxville that it feels like people are more willing to listen to something that they wouldn't have otherwise listened to. Their ears are bigger. And I feel that with, you know, some of the other contemporary music groups that have come here, Neef North, and some of the activity that's going on at the university. So I think that's a really exciting thing that has happened because of this, too.
Me, too. And, you know, people often ask about the name Big Ears. And the thing I like about the name, first and foremost, is that it tends to make people smile. And it's a little disarming because I think in the past, a lot of contemporary music, it's a little bit intimidating for a lot of people. You know, one of the important things about Big Ears is just to open up the experience because really this is supposed to be fun. Going out and exploring new music and discovering new things is really an awesome adventure. And that's really what the spirit of the festival is all about. And I feel like I see it echoing back through Neef North and activities at UT. I hear it here on WUOT. It's exciting. So I think it's a really interesting time for us culturally. Culturally, I can't think of a more exciting time. I think there's so much incredible music being created, so much incredible art being created. And then there's the social scene that comes from like-minded people coming together and sharing what they love with one another. So it's a really wonderful experience.
I understand that there is a Big Ears preview event tonight at 6 o'clock at the Mill and Mine.
There is. It's free. We have two wonderful performers, Juliana Barwick and Mary Lattimore, who was actually here last year. She's a harpist, and she performed with Yola Tingo last year, more or less unannounced. But Juliana Barwick and Mary Lattimore have made a recording together. They're touring together, and they wanted to come through town, and we were like, hey, let's have a party. So we're announcing the festival, obviously, now. But tonight we're going to celebrate that announcement and talk a little bit about Big Ears, and then we're going to have a free concert for the community. So it's going to be fun.
Well, Ashley, I think that's all I have for you today. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with me. And I'm once again super excited about the Big Ears Festival. Can't wait for March 23rd.
Well, thank you so much for having me and for all of the support from WUOT. You know, I used to work here at WUOT, and so much of my personal experience from being here at WUOT has actually come together and manifested itself in Big Ears. So I feel like that there's a really deep connection there that is really strong. So thank you.
Ashley Capps, founder of AC Entertainment, who produces and creates the Big Ears Festival, taking place this year over a span of 4 days, March 23rd through 26th. More information and a complete lineup can be found online at bigearsfestival.com. Also, an extended version of this interview will be available on our website, wuot.org.